From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. And coming up, a rare visit today by a high-ranking Chinese official to Taiwan.
But first, three decisions today from the Supreme Court as it winds down its session. Two of those decisions, very big questions about new technology, so let's get to that. In the first ruling, the justices unanimously agreed that police do have to have warrants to search cell phones during an arrest. It's being seen as a strong defense of privacy in the digital age. In the other ruling, the court sided with producers of television programming like major networks, saying that the startup streaming service Aereo can't just take that programming and rebroadcast it. They're going to have to pay for it. Emily Bazelon is senior editor at Slate. She's with us from the studios at Yale University, where she's a law fellow. And Emily, start with a cell phone case. This is actually a joint ruling on two cases. Remind us of those cases.
One of them is about a man named David Riley. He was stopped in 2009 because his car registration was expired and the cops found loaded guns in his car. Then they searched his cell phone and they found evidence on it that connected him to a street gang and eventually to a shooting. And then he was convicted of attempted murder. The second man is named Brahma Wuri, and his arrest was for selling cocaine. When the police searched his phone, which was an old-style flip phone, they found evidence linking him to gun and drug crime.
So the two cases there, news organizations, including the New York Times, filed in support of both defendants, saying that cell phone searches can compromise reporters who may be gathering news. But the Obama administration and the state of California argued that courts have allowed warrantless searches and other arrests of things like suitcases or packages of cigarettes. So tell us more about the argument for these warrantless searches and then what the court said.
Well, the argument for allowing searches without a warrant is based on old cases in which the court was worried about a police officer's safety. So, for example, someone who had a cigarette case in their pocket, the police said they wanted to make sure that wasn't a weapon or some kind of contraband. And the court said, yes, you can search that without a warrant. So the question is a cell phone the same thing? It's also something you carry on your person. And yet, as the court recognized today, we know that phones just contain such an enormous amount of data. And in light of that and the privacy interests at stake, the court decided to treat them differently.
Yeah. Well, and yet in the case of David Riley in California, again, stopped guns found in his car, but then cell phone information allegedly traced him to a shooting. I could see a law and order justice saying, well, that's a valid use of that information. And yet this was a unanimous decision.
Right. And what Chief Justice Roberts said for the court was privacy comes at a cost. We recognize that this is going to have some impact on fighting crime, but we're really worried about the idea of the police just being able willy-nilly to look into the cell phones of all the 12 million people who get arrested in the United States every year.
So what, by the way, happens now to these two suspects in these two cases?
One of them will just go back to the lower courts. The second guy, there's enough evidence that's independent of what the police found on his phone that his conviction will stand, and he actually is serving a 20-year sentence.
Is this the drug conviction or for selling cocaine near school?
Yes, exactly.
So that stands, but the David Riley, who's now been convicted of attempted murder, that has to go back to lower courts?
Right, exactly. And this whole question of where should evidence come from in order for the police to use it and for it to be used in court? Do we care about its origins? The Supreme Court says yes.
Okay. The other case involves the company Aereo. They use tiny antennas to pull down broadcast material. Subscribers to their service pay something like $8 to $12 a month to stream the programming from these broadcast networks on their mobile devices, computers, and TVs. So what did remind us what Aereo argued in defense of this, you know, taking someone else's material?
Aereo is saying we aren't actually performing this copyrighted work publicly. And now I'm using the words from the statute that Congress passed. Aereo said, hey, we're just providing the equipment. This is not a copyright infringement.
And how did the judges respond to that?
Well, they did not buy that argument. And when you think about what Aereo is doing, you can see why. I mean, this is basically for $8 a month, you get all broadcast TV onto your phone with just a delay of a few seconds in transmission. So if you're CBS or ABC or any big television network, you think, how am I going to keep my copyright for all the content I pay an enormous amount of money to produce if services like Aereo can multiply? And the court said, no, this Aereo cannot keep doing this.
And yet I remember when we talked to you earlier about this, that the justices were concerned when they were deliberating on this, that their ruling might interfere with other storage of information, like in the cloud.
Yes, it's interesting. The cloud came up in both of these cases today, and you can feel the justices who are writing really striving to make sure it's clear that they understand the technology. Justice Breyer wrote the opinion in the Aereo case, and what he said is, we are just deciding this one case in front of us. We are not talking about cloud storage. That's another case.
Yeah. We should note there was a third ruling today, the court siding with bank employees in a lawsuit against Fifth Third Bancorp. It accused management of irresponsibly investing the employee money. The court sided with the bank employees. But in the time we have left, about a minute, this session's coming to a close. What else is there? Big cases.
Yes. We have Thursday and Monday left, and we're waiting for a decision about whether President Obama correctly used his power to make recess appointments. That's a big deal for separation of powers and for a year's worth of decisions by the National Labor Relations Board. And the biggest opinion of the year, I think, is in the Hobby Lobby case, a challenge on religious grounds to the requirement in Obamacare that employers have to pay for health care coverage that includes birth control for their employees.
Any sense of how the court's been ruling of how they might rule in that case?
Well, these cases that I was just talking about tend to come down in very split ideological ways. And so while today we see this unanimous ruling in the cell phone cases, I think we're going to see some more heated, contested divisions coming up before the term is out.
And that is very, very soon. Emily Bazelon, senior editor at Slate and a fellow at Yale Law School, speaking from Yale. Thanks so much, Emily.
Thanks so much for having me.
I think what she was asking you, Emily, is did you happen to seize any of the justices' cell phones and look in there and see what they were going to do? But anyway.